proposal with the Rittenhouse, we'll serve as your lead, so you just hold on to the phone, and the next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse, sir. Okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, thank you.
Okay, just want to make sure, because sometimes it gets, this voice thing don't work sometimes. Just want to make sure, sir.
Yes, I'm waiting on that, but...
Okay, Mr. Sampson, could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Philip David Sampson, 223-567.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this is concerning the 5 allegations that are on your warrant. I see that you were notified about this hearing on July 17th, and you signed the paper that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on that paper is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself in this hearing. So, did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself?
I represent myself.
No, it's just your right, sir. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that you have the right. So it's most people do represent themselves, so not a problem. Okay, so I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look on the video screen, to your right, so my left, the other end of the bench, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right in the middle here next to me is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, and he's our board chairman. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Westby, who you can see right now. He is with the Department of Corrections. He'll represent the department and your parole officer in this hearing. So, before we get started, I need to swear both of you in, so Mr. Sampson and Mr. Westby. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Sampson?
Yes, ma'am.
And Mr. Westby?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Sampson, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. Okay, so for phase one, what I'm going to do, I'll read each one of these allegations to you, and I need you to respond whether it's true or false, sir. Okay, so we'll start with phase one, and here is the first allegation. It's that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about April 27, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 21st, 2018. Mr. Sampson, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay. Allegation number 2 is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about April 30th, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 21st, 2018. Mr. Sampson, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay. All right, the allegation number 3 is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 1st, 2018, for the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 21st, 2018. Mr. Sampson, is that true or false?
That's true.
That's true? Okay. Number 4 allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about May 14th, 2018, per the verbal directive given on May 10th, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated May 21st, 2018. Mr. Saxon, is that true or false?
Yes, sir.
That's true. Okay. And then the last allegation, the 5th one, excuse me, is that you were in violation of condition number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to be present for a scheduled contact visit with your assigned parole officer on May 15th, 2018, at your approved residence at 15482 North 87th Drive in Peoria, Arizona, as directed on May 10th, 2018. At that point, you were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Sampson, is this true or false?
That's true and false.
Well, if you were present that day, if you were not present, you were not present.
I wasn't present.
Okay, so I'm going to mark that one true, and then what we'll do is you can explain when we go into phase two. You can tell us anything you need, phase two. Okay, so all right. So here's what we'll do. Based on Mr. Sampson's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal waste of the company.
Second.
Agreed.
Right, motion by myself, seconded Mr. Quinones, agrees Dr. Wright and Mr. Neal. Okay, so Mr. Sampson, we'll go to phase two of your hearing, and this is where you can tell the board anything you want the board to know. But before we start, get too far, excuse me, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us some background information. So just hang on, we'll be right back to ask you some questions in just a moment. Mr. Westby.
Yes, sir. Mr. Sampson was released from prison at Port of Corrections on March 29, 2017. He was arrested on June 22, 2018 by Mesa PD for known charges. He was back in OC custody on June 22, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of September 4, 2018, 38 of 7 days. Current conviction, 2011, armed robbery, 6 months. 2011, marijuana violation, 6 months. 2011, narcotic drug violation, 2 counts. Count 1, 8 years. Count 2, 2 years. As a prior conviction in 2007, marijuana violation, 1 year. This is the second term of DOC. CUIR score, 3-3. Mental health score, 3. Substance abuse score, 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2008, TIS release completion, 2 months. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with criminal damage and violence noted. However, after his return to DOC on July 15, 2018, he received disciplinary a major for fighting when he was observed striking an inmate with a closed fist. Other arrest, 2006, armed robbery, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2007, marijuana violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G5B5.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, back to you, Mr. Sampson. We have a written summary of your of kind of your supervision and what happened while you were on. It looks like you were released to that the address I mentioned, 15482 North 87th Drive in Peoria, sir. Is that where you lived the whole time that you were out?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and who lives there? Whose house is that?
That's not my grandparents' house.
That's your grandparents, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And were you working, sir, while you were out on supervision?
No, I was looking for jobs, but I started a company, and I was trying to live out the grain. And my first year, we were signing a petition and copies of all the information. And the second PM, I guess he wasn't too fine with it, but I have a mental health history. And I started hearing voices and stuff again. And my health was deteriorating. So I kind of got depressed and all that. But long story short, I'm trying to get my Social Security and disability all cut that on.
Okay, so you got that started up again. Do you take meds for mental health meds?
I do in here, but I kind of go through these little situations where I feel like I'm cured, so that's what happened.
Right.
At the time, before I missed the UAS, I was actually in the hospital and had proof to give to the PO. She went on vacation and the supervisor was coming to get it. And then the mental health part, I can't have a phone when I was there most of the time. My kidneys were failing and I was going through real badly unmanaged diabetic. I've been diabetic for over 23 years.
Okay.
And I was pancreatitis.
Uh-huh.
Is what I had.
Right.
They didn't know if I was going to live past December, man. And like I said, I went into depression and the voice has been kicking up. And I went to the Phoenix, was it the state hospital?
Uh-huh.
Under a banner of psychiatric unit. And then, well, that's only the number down about, and then I mean, that's the second afternoon, I was there 5 weeks total.
Well, how are you feeling now, sir? Are you better?
Ma'am, I feel wonderful, I'm stable on my medication. I realize right now that I do need my push, I do need my meds.
Right.
Like I said, I've been on the whole entire time, I've been, like, almost 2 months in, and about a month and a half, I've been on my medication, I'm stable. I wasn't stable, my son was only 7 days old when I got arrested. My mother called the police on me because, you know, everybody kind of gets scared when I get depressed because I get crying, and when I get suicidal, homicidal, whatever they want to place it, you know, when I start hearing voices, they start telling me to do weird things. Like I said, man, I'm stable.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you're feeling better. What was the business you were starting? What business was it?
Well, my daughter's a private attorney, so I got them. I just got in touch with this social media stuff. I was trying to get them jobs where they can do like children's modeling and stuff like that. I had a construction thing I was trying to set up because while I was at Kingman. I've learned 5 different trades because I got 20 graded certificates.
Okay.
And I was just trying to do something with that plumbing and HVAC.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to make and survive in the world out there.
Okay, so it looks like you, at one point though, you were responsible to get drug samples urine samples, and I understand that you were in the hospital and all of that, but it looks like you had one on March 23rd that tested positive for meth. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I relapsed, and I went through my sanctions. I did a week. It was a week in sanctions, and then they released me, and everything was okay. But like I said, ma'am, I just stopped taking my meds. I thought it was okay, and next thing you know, everything just started kicking in, the walls started enclosing, and I started hearing the voices, and I mean, it was stumble from there. But like I said, I was in the hospital. I did what I know best, and that's check myself into the hospital. And like I said, when I was in the psych part, I couldn't have a phone, so I was having my grandmother notify me. Now, Mrs. Christina Lutz,
uh-huh.
I think her name is.
Yeah.
She had the information. I faxed over the information. She was supposed to come down to the hospital to come see me, but she went on vacation. And then the supervisor, he was just, he wouldn't come down there and he wouldn't come get the information that was needed. He told me I had a warrant for my arrest. So, I mean, I got out and I called again. I talked to Mr. Brett Haggard. He told me to come down there. But by the time I could show up at the Black Canyon place, he wasn't there. He wouldn't answer his phone. I left 2 messages on his phone that day. He's only had a month left of parole.
Right.
I mean, I did 15 months of parole without really the only hiccup was that one relapse. So like I said, man, I did my sanctions on it.
Right. Okay, sir. What were you doing when the Mesa PD, you said your mom called the police?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I had a psychiatrist, so I was
okay.
Off my meds.
All right.
And my mother got scared, she called the police.
Yep.
She did the right thing, ma'am. I had a warrant, she called the police.
Right.
And
okay,
she
sir.
Me just this, so, you know,
Mr. Sampson, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have a question for you. Anybody have a question? Okay, so we're coming toward the end of your hearing. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Westby. I'm sorry. Mr. Westby has a comment.
Yes, as we're doing the comments, we have some information provided from parole supervisor Rod Vegas. He stated on May 21st, 2018, the offender contacted Community Corrections Supervisor Rodriguez. The offender's question about his failure to provide proper hospital paperwork to account for his noncompliance. The offender explained he was at Banner at the Liberal Medical Center, so the offender is having medical problems and mental health issues. He was informed this was acceptable, however, he needed to provide paperwork. The offender stated he would return on a phone call ASAP. The offender never returned his officer's phone call. Later on that day at 4:50 p.m. on May 21st, CCS Rodriguez contacted Vander Thunderbird Medical Center located at 5555 West Thunderbird Road, Glendale. They informed his location with that name and date of birth. The offender is not being forthcoming, and no message was left that the offender's cell number called from. And then there was absconder rejection letters that were sent by parole supervisor Oliveri that stated he had spoken to the offender. He was told to bring in his paper. paperwork. The offender said his girlfriend may be having his child in the next 2 days. Offender directs to bring in hospital documentation report on Monday, June 18th, the following month here. And he says here, June 18th, offender failed to report in his directive this morning, has not made any attempts to contact me. Offender is no longer eligible for the Wisconsin Reduction Program.
Gotcha, okay. So Mr. Sampson, which hospital were you in? What street is it on?
Ma'am, it is up 50, between 59 and 51st in Middleburg, Vanderbilt. I started off there, and actually when I called him, I had, because I'm diagnosed with schizophrenia disorder, bipolar type, when people call up there, they have no actual way of verifying, and because of the charge of facilitation to commit armed robbery, and it was an armed robbery, it's F6, undesignated felony. Long story short, there was some people threatening my life, and they were driving past my grandparents' house and all that stuff for a couple of years. So I don't allow for people to call up there, but as soon as he let me know that he was calling, just keep in mind, I faxed the information to her and all that stuff, Christina Lutz, she had it. Now, when he wanted to come down there, when he wanted to get the information, I had to actually go down to the emergency room part where the medical records was, so they can allow him to be able to call, because, I mean, I don't feel like it's right that just anybody can call and just...
Right. I understand that, sir, but Mr. Sampson, you heard what Mr. Westby said. They've not had any sort of verification, and the official record shows that you haven't provided it.
I was trying to give him the information, but he was being kind of uncooperative with me now. Now, keep in mind, I was inside the hospital when I asked him to come down there. Now, Christina Lutz was going to come down there, but she didn't. So I faxed over the information to her. She didn't have the information. That's almost like on the paper. She said she actually drove to 7921 West Cherry. I never gave her that address. So I think their stories are kind of conflicting. At least they need to get together and get their stories right. She had the information and she went on vacation, and then he called and it was like a whole different tone. I was fine. Like I said, ma'am, I had bad pancreatitis. They said I was going to die before December, and bad kidney failure. And they got all that stuff right in the grace of God. And like I said, during that time, the professional setting, ma'am, I was off my meds.
Okay, sir. Okay.
The Thunderbird Mental Health, the psychiatric unit, and then I went to the Phoenix, the state hospital downtown.
All right, Mr. Sampson. Okay, thank you. You've given us that information. So we're coming to the end of your hearing. I'm sorry, you have a question? Dr. Wright has a question for you.
Mr. Sampson, when you were up on, when you returned back to DOC, you were fighting. Were you under medication at that time? What happened? You had that major ticket, sir. What was that about, sir?
Sir, as you can see, I have no violent history when it comes down to, I've never had a fighting ticket before, but what actually happened, sir, now, because of police or not, but I've been sexually harassed and assaulted in here by a guard that was in the hole. Many of you make a long story short, another guy that came from that unit, he jumped on me in my sleep and tried to beat me up. Now, thank God I'm a kind of bigger guy and I jumped up, but I mean, I gave the sergeant all the stuff, my statement about that. I wasn't found striking him. Now, I tried to strike him, you know, because he jumped on me to, you know, protect myself, that he actually jumped on me in my sleep. Now, I'm a medium guard with minimum level custody. I mean, I'm scared to go to sleep. I sleep with my shoes on already. I've been through 3 riots already, sir. I just want to go home. I'll be very, very comfortable, very, very fine with my parole. I know it's only 21 days left. 97 months total. I've been going through this stuff. I just want to go home.
Okay, sir. I understand. But let me just ask you one other question. Now, you said when you go home, what do you plan to reside when you are? When you're released in 21 days, sir. What are your plans, sir?
I can live in my grandmother's house and get my check and stuff, sir. Back up. I actually have a job. My uncle, he owns long ones of Levine. And I'm a cook, sir. He told me I could cook there, and so I find something there. I have 6 children. I'm going to continue on with my life. actually, it's, I put myself to the mercy of you guys there at the board. I was kind of hoping today to get reinstated for the 20 days, just to show you guys that, you know, I want to get released on paper. We kind of have, you know, like a little tightrope on me. And like I said, I'll be very, very compliant. The only reason why I missed those two days is because I was in hospital, sir. Other than that, I really don't have a drug history unless I get depressed. I'm planning on getting depressed. I plan on taking all my medication. And I mean, I did 13 months on the road without HIPAA. And then, I mean, I've never had a major ticket. That ticket, that probably takes not even 1 year.
Okay, so,
I was defending myself.
I really appreciate all that you're telling the board, and unless something goes wrong, you're going to be out shortly. I hope that you'll put a plan together so when you get out, you won't have any more problems. So good luck, and thank you so very much, sir.
Okay, Mr. Sampson, we're at the end of your hearing, sir, and I will give you the opportunity to make a final statement, but we just ask that you not repeat something you've already told us. Is there anything else? Is there anything else?
Ma'am, I really, really wish, like I said, I put myself to mercy and the board here, the policy board. I really wish I could be reinstated so I can get out, you know, my man is stable, see my new grandson, my fiance, and my family. And like I said, I know you guys hear this all the time, but I mean, other than that hiccup, I really have no hiccups. When it comes down to it, I've never bothered it before. And I mean, I really, really appreciate it if I can get released beforehand, even if it is just a couple weeks of paper. I'll do that. Very, very compliant to me. I don't care if it's home arrest. I really wish to get released and be with my family and not really being here. My health is deteriorating. And I lost 60 pounds since I've been in here in 2 months because of my kidneys and my pancreatitis and stuff, and my diabetes. I really want to be able to get out of here, and that would be much appreciated. Like I said, I'm not going to stay on the voice anymore. I'm going to get my check and all that stuff, back up, and work with my uncle. I mean, I have a plan, and I have people that love me. I have a place to go. I just feel like I can be somewhere better.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sampson. Mr. Sampson, the board is going to go into discussion. We do all our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we just ask that you stay on the phone there and just remain silent, and we'll be right back with you. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Sampson has just 21 days to go, and will be off of his responsibility, and what he owes to the department will be paid. I'm just seeing him as a good candidate just to remain where he is and make sure he's stable on his meds. He says he's feeling pretty good now, and then in 21 days he'll be out, but I'm not seeing him as a candidate for committee supervision. Based on information in warrant 2018W1551, our conversation with Mr. Sampson, information from Mr. Westby, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Sampson was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was probably about to lapse into criminal laser company, specifically by absconding for the 38 days, during which time his parole officer did not know what he was doing, and he also used methamphetamine while on community supervision.
Second. Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, second, and Mr. Quinones agreed. Dr. White and Mr. Neal. Mr. Sampson, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. And let me just tell you, even if the board granted that, it would be at least 2 weeks before you would get out because of out processing paperwork and such. So when you get out on September 4th, providing there's no other problems while you're in prison, you won't have a parole officer at all. You'll be able to do anything you want to do and help take care of your newborn. And please do pay attention to your meds, because that's one of those things you're going to have to probably be on that for life. And I know people start getting feeling better and think you don't need it, but you really do. We appreciate you participating in your hearing today, sir. and your hearing is concluded. So if you, we'd appreciate if you give the phone to the CO3 there, sir. Thank you so much.